If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Well, apologies there to Phil Collins, I'll bet. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker, 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. Yeah, pollen is on the menu for this evening, along with bees. And also the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum, the Chicago Academy of Sciences, Peggy Notabart Nature Museum at 2430 North Cannon Drive. Originally has its origins in 1857, and we're very pleased to welcome, just a few weeks from his retirement, I understand, Michael Lorich. Good evening.
Good evening. This is Doug Karen. How do you do? Hello?
This is who?
Doug Karen.
Well, I guess I've got my notes mixed up.
I am retiring, aren't you? I am retiring, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got 2 out of 3. I mean, you know, if it was a batting average, it'd be great. Being on the radio, not so good. So, what is your title there? What do you do over there, Doug?
I am the chief curator. I run our biology department, which includes our live animals, including the butterflies in our Butterfly Haven exhibit. And I oversee our conservation research and our citizen science programs.
Butterflies, pollinators, conservation, would those be some of the things that are under your purview, so to speak?
Absolutely, yes.
And June, I understand, is National Pollinator Month. I didn't even know there was such a thing. What's the purpose of it?
Well, it's to increase awareness about the importance of pollinators. And pollinators are really important for agriculture because most crops are either grains or are pollinated by insects. So most of your fruits, things like beans, squash, tomatoes, all of those things are insect pollinated.
So a pollinator is, what is a pollinator specifically?
Well, a pollinator is any organism, that transfers pollen from one flower to another to allow fertilization and allow the formation of the fruit or seeds. So, for example, without bees, apple trees will still produce their beautiful pink flowers in the spring, but there will be no apples that come after that.
Are there other pollinators besides bees?
There are. You mentioned butterflies. Butterflies are kind of wimpy pollinators, but some other good pollinators are things that might not have good PR that bees have. So flies are really good pollinators.
Wow.
Beetles, a lot of beetles are pollinators. Bugs are pollinators. So there are a lot of different pollinators. And in other parts of the country, there are even things like bats and birds that are pollinators.
Wow. I read here in some of the notes that were given to me that 75% of the world's food source depends on pollinators. That's an incredible percentage.
It is. Now, there are things like corn and wheat that are wind pollinated that don't need pollinators, but as you say, the majority of crops do need a pollinator.
Wasn't there something a few years ago where there was a shortage of bees for some reason?
The shortage of bees had to do with honeybees, and honeybees are more or less at this point a domesticated species. And they are tucked around, big hives of honeybees are tucked around, and then the hives are placed in things like orchards, and they pollinate the crops. And there was a shortage of these honeybees that were needed for pollination.
Mm. Yeah, I seem to remember that. What can we do to facilitate pollination during National Pollination Month? Is there something we can do about it?
Oh, there sure is. One of the things that you can do if you're a homeowner is keep your yard a little bit less tidy than you might be used to keeping it. Mow less frequently. Leave some areas where areas where the vegetation can get a little taller, and that's all good for pollinators.
Hey, that sounds great. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there go, oh, you know what? No, I can't mow the lawn now because, you know, I'm helping pollinators. I heard it on the radio, the guy from the Notabart Museum. So let's just hold off on that yard work. What a great excuse. Thank you for that out.
Yeah, I mow my lawn biweekly rather than weekly, and that's the sort of thing that people will do.
Well, I was laughing about it, but I've never heard that relationship, and it's very interesting to know. And even if I don't want to mow the lawn, it's something in the back of my mind that I'll keep forever now. You know, we were talking about the percentage of food in the world that 75% attributed to pollinators. Bees contribute to the GDP, too, don't they?
I am not familiar with the abbreviation GDP.
Oh, well, I got here 130 crops in the U.S., adding about $14 million every year to crop yield. So let's just go with that.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, bees, from an economic standpoint, bees are extraordinarily important for agriculture. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about bees and agriculture, not exclusively, we are overwhelmingly talking about honeybees. Now, honeybees are just one species. They're not actually native to North America, but we also have a large number of native bee species. There are over 3,000 native bee species in North America.
You mentioned the lawn consideration to pollinators. I also understand that if we see a bee or two on the ground, I think the normal reaction is to run. However, I understand you can help it by using water and sugar, a 50-50 mixture. Is that right?
You can feed bees of that sort a sugar mixture. I would use a more dilute mixture than that. 50-50 strikes me as a bit rich.
Okay.
When I feed insects, I generally use 10 parts either honey or sugar. I mean, 1 part either honey or sugar to 9 parts water.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And I hope people take note of not only National Bee Month, but the Peggy Notabart Nature Museum there in Lincoln Park. It's a great place. I've been there many times. Thank you, Doug, for being with us. Have a great evening.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. John Landecker at 720 WGN.